Let's gavel.
Welcome back, everybody, to episode 3 of Let's Gavel.
Welcome back, everyone. Happy to have you.
Glad you guys are sticking with us through this journey. Today, we are talking about small law firms, what it means to be in a small law firm, how it is to work in one. This basically is our day today. We both work in small law firms, so we just kind of want to tell you guys what it's all about. So Hamase, define for us, what is a small law firm? What is considered a small law firm?
So a small law firm is usually about 10 to 15 attorneys or less. And small law firms can be really general in their practice, where they kind of dabble in various areas of law, or it can be a boutique law firm where they offer more like specialized services in specific areas of law.
Like as compared to a big law firm, that's, you know, hundreds. A number. Yeah, it can be up to hundreds of attorneys, hundreds of support staff, right? Across multiple states, across multiple disciplines.
Yes, and it can even be international. There's also mid-sized law firms that fall kind of in the middle. So yeah, it's like boutique / small, mid-size, and then big law firms.
So we consider ourselves to work in small law firms because we fall into that category of small law firms, as you mentioned. I work in a law firm where there are 2 attorneys, me and my boss, and 4 support staff, so a total of 6 of us.
Yeah, and I work for a firm that has 4 attorneys and 3 support staff. As one of the 2 attorneys at your firm, what are some of your job responsibilities? What's your day-to-day look like?
Okay, good question. Well, first off, as a associate attorney at a small law firm, you will wear many hats. Mm-hmm. So we're just dabbling in all kind of things. You're in court, you're reviewing documents for paralegals before they are submitted to court or filed with the court. You're negotiating with opposing counsel. You're talking with clients all the time. You're doing administrative stuff. So every day is some mixture of those things. On any given day, I would probably, like majority of my time, I am going to court on something, whether that's remotely or in person. And I'm usually doing some sort of reviewing of something as well on a daily basis. So I dabble in some reviewing, dabble in some discussions with clients, and then dabble in some court experience on a day-to-day.
Yeah.
What about you?
Yeah, that's pretty much the same. I feel like when I'm in the office, which is, you know, a lot of my days, I'm on my computer handling paperwork or maybe on the phone with some clients. Usually I'm talking to my paralegal either through chat or on the phone, like pretty much constantly. I love my paralegal. She is amazing. And all support staff, all paralegals, they just make our lives so much easier.
Yes.
Lifelines of the firm.
100% right? Agree. Yes, yeah. 100% agree.
So one thing about being in a small law firm is that it's easy access to the partner of the firm or the other attorneys you're working with. So kind of depending on if you're remote or in person. I mean, I am in person. I go to the office every day. So I see my group every day. So my boss and I are constantly popping in and out of each other's offices and like keeping in touch, touching base about cases, and same with everyone else. So that's kind of the vibe, the jive of the firm, you know, that's what it's like. Whereas like, for example, I used to work at a big firm and that was not the case. I had set meetings to meet with set teams. Otherwise, I was just at my desk alone doing my own thing. I would say it's much more interactive at a small law firm. Do you agree?
Yeah, that's a good word. I agree. Yeah, and I think too, when it comes to like speaking with clients, like I know like they consider nonprofit organizations being like direct representation. I remember that's how they would frame nonprofit work. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like that in small law firms too, even though it's private. Clients kind of have a direct line of access to you. They have access to you a lot easier than I think if you were at a big law firm, you would be a little bit more, you know, there's other people they can reach out to.
Right.
For me, every client that I have knows my name and knows my number and my email and knows how to contact me and will contact me more than once. a day. And Will read my line. Yeah. Will finds my number quite easily.
Yes. Yes.
And it's harder to hide, you know, not like you want to hide, but it's harder to be like, talk to the person in the front because.
Right. You many, are the person.
You are the person in the front. Exactly. Yeah. I'm the person in the front and in the back. So.
Right.
I think, yeah, there's just easier access, you know, in general, you're just accessible.
That's so true. I mean, it's just inherent to the job. So yeah. It's myself, the partner, or the paralegal. Like those are the three people that our clients are kind of looking to. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the times, 99% of the time, the clients come to me because I'm an attorney on the case. I'm more accessible than my partner.
Right. That kind of goes hand in hand with kind of making decisions a lot as a associate at a small law firm. Because we are accessible, we are in charge of a lot more, I think, than an associate attorney at a bigger law firm or in a bigger group of lawyers or staff in general. It's us that's signing off on the paperwork or us that's talking strategy with the client or us that's negotiating with opposing counsel. So we are actively, you know, making decisions every day that can sometimes be, you know, hard on the brain sometimes.
You know, we do the thing.
Yeah, we do the thing, I guess.
Totally. Totally. I mean, I always feel like in this role, I'm doing the work that I would do in years 1 through 8 of big law. And for those of you that don't know, in like a bigger law firm, the year that you have been in practice determines like your scope of work. So if you're like a first year associate at the law firm or out of law school, you're considered a junior associate. I think 1 through 3 is like junior associate, and your universe of work is like very limited. And then once you kind of rise through the ranks, you get more and more and more responsibility. When you're like a senior associate level or like pretty close to partner level, then you're really talking to the clients and you're their first touch point. You have to kind of go through the ranks to, you know, get that increased responsibility. Whereas right. in our jobs, you know, we do all of that. We're doing the junior associate level work and the senior associate level work. So that's really cool in a sense because it's like sink or swim. Like we have to figure it out. But because it is sink or swim, it has, you know, its challenges. You have to be ready for that.
Yeah, agreed. It's kind of crazy sometimes when I find myself in court and I'm like, quote unquote, first chair doing a trial that, you know, I feel quite young or unequipped for. But obviously, you know, I do my best to equip myself. But still, there's something to be said about the years of experience that we just don't have, you know, yet. But that being said, because we are learning all the time, we're forced to learn a lot quicker. And kind of use that knowledge a lot faster. I remember when I first started going to court and I would have my little script and everything that was exactly what I needed to say. And just watching other attorneys, I would pick up certain things or pick up lingo or pick up rules. And then the next time I would go, I would sound more like advanced, even though this is my second court appearance or something like that, you know?
Right, yeah.
And so you're having to like pick up and use the knowledge right away. It's kind of like a baby when they're learning like multiple languages at a time. And so I think that's really cool about being in small law.
It's so cool. You have to be comfortable for sure with like maybe not having as much oversight, maybe working a lot more independently. I think we both enjoy that. I mean, I know I really do.
Yes.
Yeah. I like the independence. I like feeling like I'm the attorney on the case. When I was in a big law firm, I was seeking out a job at a smaller law firm specifically for the reason of I want to learn how to be an attorney. And, you know, that's exactly what I got when I got here because I'm figuring it out as I go. Not to say I don't know what I'm doing, but, you know, like Bailey said, you kind of pick things up as you go.
And that's a great point because – I think in my demeanor as a person, I think I come off shyer. And I think I can be shy to an extent, you know? And so being in that role and like taking charge and making decisions really early in my career was not something that I foresaw, but it's also part of my personality too. Like I want to be able to have a hand in making a difference for my clients. And so that oversight, sometimes, you know, it's kind of a silver lining. Sometimes I would like more oversight and I don't have it. And then sometimes I don't want any and I have too much, you know. Yeah. I kind of like dabble back and forth. And I think those are the two sides of my personality. So, you know, it's an interesting place to be. I think it's not for everybody,
right?
You know, to not really have a hand to be held. My hand wasn't really held much, you know, at all. You know, I like a little bit of hand holding just to be like, Bailey, you're doing a great job.
Doing a great job.
Oh, thank you.
You really are, because, though.
I kind of work on positive reinforcement.
Yeah.
And I'm getting more cases and doing more stuff, and I keep getting more responsibilities in every position I've been in. So I take it to mean I'm doing great, but.
Yeah.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
You totally are. I know your clients are super happy and satisfied with you. Like, you know, they come back for you at the end of the day. Yeah. She's doing the thing.
Yeah. I always like hug my clients after court every time. I'm like, well, we did good.
You're like, good job, sweetie.
Yeah. Like, it's so funny because when I meet them, I'll shake their hand because I probably only met them once, or this is maybe my first time meeting them. I'm like, oh, hello. How are you? I'm Bailey. La, la, la. And then at the end, I'm like, oh, well, we did it. Yeah, I'm like, hug. Okay, see you later.
That's so funny.
It's sweet. Yeah, we're friends now.
I love that. Yeah. I love that. That's a good feeling when you're done with a hearing or you're done with a case and you're like, we did the thing. Good job. High five.
Especially when you don't have that hand holding and you're learning things.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you're on the spot and you've done your research. Like, you can do all the research, Westlaw, whatever. But when you get into the courtroom, you don't exactly know, you know, what the judge is going to say or what the judge is going to find important. And so there is an element of always thinking on your feet. I'm sure even for veteran attorneys.
Totally.
But, you know, there's an element of surprise.
There's always an element of surprise. The thing with the veteran attorneys is that they have more experiences under their belts, whereas we are building our tool belt right now. Right. So it's like a little bit more, what's happening? Actually, going back to something you were talking about with your personality versus the job, like I relate to that. I don't think being shy versus aggressive is the thing that leads to results. It's more of like, are you being logical? Right. Do you have your head level? Like, that, I think, helps the client in the long run versus being like a shark, nasty attorney and using fighting words to like get things done. Because usually nothing gets done if you're being aggressive as an attorney.
Right.
You know, we have to be really neutral and not take things personally.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah.
Could not have said it better. Yeah.
Right?
100% so, agree. Yeah.
If you're like a prospective lawyer, or you're thinking about it and you're like, but I'm more soft-spoken, please don't let that stop you from pursuing this path, because you can be just as effective, if not more, just using that little noggin of yours.
Right. Use it. Use your noggin.
Yeah.
I think too, like, for those that are more aggressive, because I know that this profession tends to draw, you know, the aggressive personality types. I think there's a place for you. Okay.
Yeah.
But with everything, like Hamase said, we can make sure that, you know, being in court, dealing with clients is not just about arguing. It's not just about being the loudest person in the room or the most aggressive or the nastiest. It really is about using your noggin, and it's really about getting the result for your client. This is not your case. There's nothing to take personal here. This is not your life story on the line. You're here to articulate in the best way to the judge what, or to, you know, the mediator, whatever, whoever the personnel would be, your client's position. We are, in a sense, you know, mouth service. Is that the word? Lip service for the client.
Lip service, yeah. That's why they always say, like, the lawyers that go up against each other and then get drinks afterwards, it's like, yeah, because they don't need to take it personally. That's not their job.
Exactly.
The people who do, who want to bring off this like aggressive personal personality, that's tiring. Please reconsider that approach.
please reconsider. Agreed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Please. Because we don't want to be dealing with you, because honestly,
no, when you're dealing,
people don't like to be yelled at, typically speaking.
Right.
So it's just about maintaining your composure. Like Hamase said, no one's perfect, you know?
Yeah.
You live and you learn it, as Hannah Montana says. Is that what it says? I hope those words are right.
I think so. Sounds right to me.
You live and you learn it. Yeah. So just be chill. It doesn't mean you're fighting any less. Actually, I feel like when you yell and you're aggressive in that way, you can't really hear. You can't, you know, you can't be as smart. So be chill.
Take it down a notch, bro.
Take it down. Take it down. And judges that are listening. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, no.
Oh, judges.
Oh, actually.
Please.
Why are we yelling?
Why
are we always in a bad mood?
I know it's your courtroom and I get it, but it's 8:30 in the morning.
We all are dealing with things.
Okay.
We don't want to be here just as much as you don't want to be here.
We don't. We all drove in. We're tired. Okay. We're barely making it. Yes. We don't want to be yelled at. We're doing our best. Again, nobody's perfect.
Right. Sometimes you go to court and a judge is this, I don't know, in a bad mood, having a bad day, and you cannot get a word out before you get shut down, like shut down. Hard and deep, hard. Okay?
Hard, deep,
yeah. Like, yeah. Shut up. I'm not talking to you, basically, even though you were just talking to me. Yeah.
Even though you called me up here.
You asked me to be here, but you don't want me to talk. Fine, no problem.
Yep.
Some days the judge is having a fantastic day, or they're just like a really great judge, very logical, and it's all good and fine and dandy. But it's really a toss-up. It really is. So that's something to note if you're going to get into this career.
Yeah. Hamase mentioned two different words that may or may not have escaped you. One being litigation, one being transactional.
Okay, let's break this down. So big, big picture, there is the criminal law system and the civil law system. Those are our two huge umbrella categories. Under civil law, which is where Bailey and I practice, and unless you're a criminal law attorney, you're probably in the civil world, right? So under the civil system, we have litigation and we have transactional work.
Okay, so litigation. As a litigator, you will be going to court. You will be taking depositions, which are basically interviews under oath. You'd be doing dispute resolution. So that can be look like settlement negotiations or settlement conferences, mediations. You're also doing all the work that brings a case to court or to the deposition or to the judicial officer. So for example, drafting documents, motions, drafting briefs.
Right.
Things
There's
like
a
that.
Ton of paperwork that moves cases along. I mean, more than you would expect. We were joking earlier, like it feels sometimes like we just signed up for a life of endless homework.
Yeah. It's honestly so much paper, you guys. Like, Yeah, it's a lot of papers, a lot of paper pushing. So even as a lawyer, even if you have the best paralegals ever, if your name is or your license is on the line with that paperwork, you're reviewing it, you're still pushing it, even if you're not filling it out. So,
yeah. And this is where your classic like lawyers arguing their points, that's where that litigation comes in, right? It's like you are trying to persuade the court to find in your favor. But on the transactional end of things, it's more like we're working together to build a contract or put a deal together. So whereas in litigation, there's so many different types of paperwork and things you have to do in different stages along the way. In transactional work, it's like we have one ultimate goal. The universe of your work is all within that one contract. Transactional work comes in family law, right?
Exactly. So for example, if you were to take family law and kind of break it down into these two sections or these two categories, the litigation part of family law will be when we go to court and we're arguing for child support, or I'm arguing for more custody, or I'm arguing for the house to go to this person versus that person. The transactional side of family law would be things like filling out adoption paperwork or writing prenup agreements or postnup agreements. So it's more of that contract negotiation side of things rather than the court persuading them to rule in my favor.
You can handle cases under any industry that you're interested in. If you're interested in real estate, area of law, art law, that's an area of law, food law, that's an area of law, entertainment, there's like so many different areas of law.
Yeah. And then separate from all of that is immigration law. We're special in that way, I guess.
Yes.
It's a federal type of law. So instead of it being state specific, it's federal. So if you are an immigration attorney, sometimes immigration attorneys do work across multiple states. You can, because it doesn't depend on the, you know, the state specific California state laws versus New York state laws. It's just general across the board. And so that's pretty cool. It's a little special aside.
Yeah. Yeah. And then there's like other miscellaneous like patent law. Patent law.
Trademark law.
Yeah. Yeah. You can be a litigator, but the system's a little bit different in patent litigation. So there's just bottom line, there's so much to choose from in this profession, which is pretty cool. You know, you can kind of do anything with it.
Yeah. And then also, I guess we didn't mention, but you can also not just, you know, decide not to do any of this and actually go into academia and, you know, teach law instead. So there's a lot of different things you can do with this degree.
So there's so many things to think about now that we're laying it out.
Yeah. And then even like I would, you know, even though some people come to law school with a specific type of path or law in mind, you know, use law school to your advantage in that you can try out all these different, you know, can try out as many sectors of law as you want. I did like some work in nonprofits. I did some work in personal injury stuff, like criminal, white collar stuff that I'm not even in now, but it was cool to just touch and dabble in that world. So
yeah,
you know, use your law school experience to your advantage in that way. What are the biggest challenges of working in a small law firm?
Oh, okay. Wow. Comes with a significant amount of challenges.
Sorry. As all work does, I guess.
As all work does. Yes, yes, yes. Of course, of course.
I mean, I guess. I don't know.
Okay, so for me personally, I'm going to say, going back to something I said earlier, the feeling like I'm doing homework all the time. I don't know. That's not particular to small law firms. I definitely felt like that when I was in the big law world. But just, yeah, not getting away from like the feeling of I just need to like finish this motion. It's like I need to submit this paper, you know, like
that's
really hard for me sometimes. And on that same note, this is specific to small law, but because there's only a few of us, like I will be writing huge motions like just by myself. And like I have to figure out how to do it and do it right and do it myself. And that includes everything from the brainstorming to the researching to the writing and then the like citations and the final edits, like all of that stuff. In bigger law firms, you get the support like on each end. But in small law, it all probably will fall on you. So that can sometimes be a challenge. It's also pretty rewarding once you're done and you've submitted it and you're like, cool, like I did that.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I remember, well, there's been a handful of times where I have just felt the lack of support, you know, severely. Yeah. I've only worked in small law firms. So I really am only comparing the three small law firms that I've worked at to each other. Mm-hmm. But I just, you know, assume it is a characteristic of being in a small law firm. While there is a lot of money in small law, like, you know, firms are making a lot of money, the resources somehow are still lacking. Yeah. I don't know. Or the staff is lacking. Like there were times where I felt like, can somebody help me?
I would say another challenge would be sometimes it's hard to deal with clients that like question you a little bit too much or get on ChatGPT and they get a lot of misinformation. It doesn't happen often, but sometimes I'm like, can the partner talk to this person? Because he'll make them understand.
Right. Yeah. I think too, because I am the associate, I'm like the lesser of the two, even though I'm doing a lot of the, like, at least for my firm's, the way that it's kind of worked out is that the managing attorney, the owner, will bring in all the business and then I will do the majority of the court appearances.
Same.
You know, so I'm going to be at your case with you come whatever day. Yeah. But I've had clients where they are, not only do they prefer my boss, but I've had a client come in and sit down and I'm like, oh, hi, like I'm going to be taking your appointment today. My boss is not available. We don't like you. We don't want you. Oh, yeah. Straight like that. I was like, oh, okay, well, my boss is not available in this moment while you're here. So I'll be taking your appointment. I'm also an attorney. I'm, you know, la, 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 la. And it was a family actually that all sat there and they were like, we don't want you. We just don't want you. We don't like you. We don't know you. We don't want you. They said it like about 20 times until I was like, let me just get up here.
Oh my gosh.
I got up and I was like, actually, I can't deal with him.
Okay, like, because I don't want you either.
I don't want you. I don't know you. I don't like you. I don't like your attitude coming in here, sitting in my office so nasty. So yeah, because there is only two attorneys, my bosses that I work for, their name's on the door. So who am I? You know, they're coming to see the name on the door and I'm the other one, you know? Right. So it's kind of presented challenges.
Right. Yeah.
And I've had to kind of convince clients of me, but you have to kind of walk them through that. Like, no, I'm not the name on the door, right, but I'm better.
I'm doing all the work.
Yeah.
No, right? Literally, I'm doing all the work here.
Get to know me. Don't just sit there and tell me you don't like me, you know?
Oh my gosh. I'm so sorry to hear that. That's so shocking.
I don't know. Interesting.
I'm sorry to hear that. That's wild. Yeah. I definitely make it a part of my spiel in consults to say, I'm his associate. He's overseeing everything, but you should know I do like most of the legwork. Usually I spin it to say, you know, your bill will be less. Like, you actually want me to be the one working on everything. But that's usually how I spin it. And as long as I tell people in advance, they're okay with it. Definitely in the beginning, I think there were a few clients that were like, wait, who are you? If they have really complicated questions or questions that I feel like somebody with more experience should be the one to answer, I don't try to pretend like I know.
No.
Yeah, I'll either say like, I'll look into it and get back to you, or that's the boss question. Let me set you up on a call with him.
Right. And yeah. I think that's totally fine. You know, I do the same thing. I feel the same way. I don't have a problem with telling people because, again, you know, I'm just a girl at the end of the day and I don't have all the answers. So sometimes I just say to them, you know, I'll look into it. I don't know the answer off the top of my head. And I think that's okay. Yeah.
Totally. It's totally okay. We don't have to be cocky for no reason.
No. Yeah. Also, again, because, and it's so crazy because right now I'm in court settings I've never been in before, but the client doesn't know that. So it's kind of funny because I have to, you know, learn it. And then if it's something I don't know, I'm like, okay, well, let me look into that.
No. That reminds me, the one and only DUI case I took, I did it because one of our staff at the time, she really wanted to start taking on criminal law matters. And there was this random person who called with the DUI. So she was like, please take this case. Like, I'll help you. We can do it together. I'm like, okay, I'll do it for you.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I would try to figure it out, obviously, before. Like, we're doing a lot of studying before. We're trying to figure it out. But until you get to the court, you like don't really know how everything's going to pan out. So I remember I got so freaking lucky. The first time I showed up in court on that case, there was this really cute like young attorney that I was like just vibing with. And she has her own like DUI practice and we just vibed. So I told her, I was like, this is my first time. Like, I literally don't know what I'm doing. I think I'm supposed to say this, but like, can you just confirm that my script is right? And she let me set all of my follow-up dates to fall on the same dates that she was following up on her cases. So every time I would go, she'd be there and she'd be like, yes, like, you're right. This, or like, no, you have to actually do this.
Gosh, so nice.
So, oh my God. God bless her soul.
Thank God. Yeah. No, yeah. No, honestly, when I went to criminal court, it was kind of a DUI case too. Mm-hmm. And I was there and I was talking with this older attorney and he was like, oh, you know, I'm Jim. I was like, yeah, I'm Bailey. We're waiting in line to talk to the DA. And I already know what I need to say, la la. And he says, you know, are you usually in criminal court? And I'm like, for a second, I thought, should I lie? Should I not? Because sometimes you walk into court, you don't know the players. You don't know who's on your side, who's not. Yeah. So I was just honest and I said, no, usually I'm in family court settings and immigration. He's like, oh, that's really tough. Like, this is, he's like, I'm very rarely in those settings. I'm mostly in criminal. So if you need any help, let me know. Mm-hmm. And later on in the calendar, I was walking out and the client was frustrated. Like, she was, you know, she's agreed to something and then she wanted to like take it back and was just kind of crying and it was like emotional. And then he was like, Bailey, like, I've been doing this for 30 years. If you need my help, like, let me know. And at that point I didn't know what to do because I was like, is it crazy that the client would see the other, like another attorney not associated with the firm helping us? But at the same time, I don't know, I just felt like
bring him in
that moment. bring him in. I said, yeah. bring him out. I said, I need help. So he's like, write down this case, Duenas versus. It literally dropped her fine for a DUI from $1,700 to $70.
Yes.
Oh my God. I said, what?
Literally.
I was like, girl, you're going to be put on a payment plan. But yeah. I didn't know.
Yeah. No, my girl told me the same exact case. Yes. 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 And I used it. Yes.
Me too. And it worked, right?
I was like, I love this court.
This whole thing here I love happening. This court. Right. Yeah. Everybody, I love you. So have a great day.
Yeah. No, mind you, it's like a criminal court. Yeah.
No,
like,
literally. I love it. It was so, it's so chill. Criminal court is actually kind of surprising.
Know. It's so surprising. Yeah. Yeah. And yeah. I think you told me a story like this too, but you have to like check in a different way in criminal yes. court than like in civil. And so I didn't know I had to check in. So I was sitting there waiting for like a whole ass hour and everyone was done. And I'm still sitting there and one of the prosecutors came up to me and was like, have you checked in?
Yeah, it was actually for me, exact same thing happened. I was sitting there for the whole calendar and then I was thinking maybe my case is different than the others. Maybe mine's separate.
Yeah, maybe I'm special.
The bailiff was like, did you sign the sheet at the front? And I'm like, sign the sheet? What sheet? He's like, you have to sign it and then hand the paper. It's so weird. You have to hand it to the clerk to call your case. You have to do an extra step. So yeah, I sat there for about 2 hours before I realized.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny. Yeah, it's like I said at one point in this podcast, the criminal and the civil systems are very, very different. But I mean, criminal's cool. I like it. Okay, so we talked about our biggest challenges. Now, what are like your favorite parts of the job, pros of the job, like? Let's end it on a positive note.
Right. Love that. Love a positive note.
Love that. Yeah.
Okay. So for me, two things stand out for me. One, I actually really, really love, surprisingly, even though I'm kind of shy, I actually really love going to court. Mm-hmm. I love just like being in the room. I love being called up and, you know, good morning, Your Honor. I just love that whole thing. I love sitting and moving the mic. And I just, you know, I love how intimate it can be because it feels very daunting.
Yes.
But most of the court settings are so intimate feeling that once you're up there, it's just like a conversation. I feel the most, like, I feel like the best advocate in that moment, you know?
Yeah.
And I also love client relations, but I love to comfort and provide hope for clients. Yeah. We don't get a lot of happy people. And I think especially in family and immigration, people's families are literally falling apart. So it's a sad place to be. But I think, you know, sometimes you just need a hug. Sometimes you just need to know that it will be okay. Like maybe it's not okay right now and there's obstacles that are in the way, but it will be okay, you know? And so I just like being a therapist and a counselor in that way, like a true counselor and just walking through that with them. And I think, that's my favorite part. I love that part of it. And even when I'm on phone calls sometimes and I hang up and I say to them, okay, well, we'll talk soon and do. And I'm like, I just feel I feel happy about like, you know, about that whole thing. Anyway,
I love that. I love that about you. I love that about your personality and your style. Like, I'm like, go girl.
It's
special. I love when a case resolves through settlement negotiations. I just feel like everyone, you know, it's hard because everyone kind of feels like they've lost something, but at the same time, me as the attorney, I know that you won at the end of the day, and that's because you have basically taken control of your case, and you are avoiding spending so much money in legal fees that you as like the client don't really see coming, but me as the attorney, I know like the potential of how big a case can get. So to me, like, I just feel good feeling like I just saved you so much money and heartache and heartbreak by settling this case,
right?
You know? That's and then, true. You know, we try to get a settlement that feels good for the client, but if it's ever like, just below enough to make them feel good, then it's really that what I just talked about that brings them across the line. And to me, that's invaluable because people don't realize like litigation, it's nasty, you know, and it can take a long time.
And it wears on you.
Yeah. And especially if like my client's a business or a landlord or, you know, someone who owns like a money generating thing that's like now wrapped up in litigation, it's like the best thing to do is to cut your losses. So let's put our business hats on. Let's put the emotions aside. Let's make the best business decision. When I can do that, I love it.
You're like, put the emotions aside.
Yeah. Dollars and cents. Don't have a place.
Thank you for that new perspective on that. It's important.
Yeah,
it's important.
Yeah. It's one of those things that like sneaks up on people.
And you know what else? You're doing a great job.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're doing so good. I see you working. Yeah, for all your clients, getting things done, getting things signed. Yeah, you're doing great.
I love it. Yeah. So those things can feel so good.
Yeah, that's like that makes it worth it. You know, you have to just find, you know, your why, what makes it worth it to you. It's a lot of, you know, it's a lot of hours. It's a lot of, you know. A lot of hard times, a lot of stress, a lot of sleepless nights.
True. It's hard. It's the grind out here. Let's not lie. It's the grind, but there are reasons to stick with it, and it can feel really good.
And when you focus on those moments, do the other moments even matter? No, I'm just kidding. Yeah.
I mean, take care of yourself. Don't forget that. But yeah, like we can get through it, right?
Yeah, like don't be afraid to take vacation when you need it. Call out when you need it. People will be okay, you know. When you take breaks and when you take vacation, it just helps you to reset, you know. And no one wants like a tired, you know, lawyer barely making it. Someone framed it like this, like, you know, say, for example, you pass away giving your all to your career. They will just find somebody else, you know, and the job will continue. Yeah. So you have to put yourself first, at least equal to your career. You can't just like skyrocket your career and then you are at the starting line.
Yes. I mean, that's what I saw in Big Law a lot, is like people just became so consumed with their careers, which was the expectation. So that's hard when your work environment like expects you to give every hour of your day to your job. Like that's really difficult. I didn't want to grow up, for lack of a better word, in that environment in my career. So I got so lucky with this firm and my boss. His motto is, we work to live, not live to work. And when I heard him say that, I was like, I love you. That's wonderful. You're such a good person.
That's wonderful. Yeah. That is how it should be. And at the end of the day, I feel like life is built on experiences. And if you can't experience life and you're just at the desk working, that's no fun.
No fun at all. Yeah, absolutely. Love it. Let's end it here. And as always, if you have any questions, comments, concerns, email us. Otherwise, we'll see you on the next episode. Thanks for tuning in, Gavelers. Bye.